this place is very unique among radio stations, and we're going to prove that tonight. We are going back to a point in time of radio where there was live music. Now, you will hear that on various programs. Ro Khan, Patty Vasquez do it regularly on WGN. And we're going to hear some Christmas music tonight. And we're going to hear it live in studio. We're going to hear from some Chicago legends. And we will talk some more, Jen, because what I want to hear from you...
Okay.
As the, in fact, I'll ask you right now. You're an official news person.
Yes.
You're an expert.
Sure.
Okay.
Yes.
Are there Christmas miracles?
Oh boy! See, that's where my personal opinion gets in, and I don't know. I don't know if there's Christmas miracles. I feel like they went away with black and white movies.
Well, without Jimmy Stewart, we're going to have two. We will hear two Christmas miracles. At least I think they are.
Oh.
I will let you. Okay. And more importantly, all of you who are listening, be the judge of that. And we will hear those, one at 11:35 or so, another about an hour after that. And you tell me whether you think they're miracles or not. I will tell you, if nothing else, they are inspiring stories. Esmeralda, thank you very much. I know you'll jump in here if you have any traffic updates.
For sure.
And it is nice to meet you, Jen.
Nice to meet you, too, finally, after all these years of hearing you.
Thank you. All these years almost makes me sound old, but I'm not.
Oh, it makes me sound old, too, so we're in the same boat.
Okay, and okay. I'm here on Christmas night, and welcome all of you. We hope to keep you company tonight. We hope to put a smile on your face. I will introduce the guest we have in studio in a second, but I want to start with just one in particular. From the Chicago Police Department... I think we're all in trouble when I say that. But no, it's Chaplain Robert Montelongo, who's been on this show before. He's been on podcasts I've done. Hi, Bob.
How are you, Steve?
I'm okay. So while all the people are setting up in the studio all the technical things they need to do, I want to talk to you a little about Christmas, about today, about what it means. Do you think that, well, we had fun today, maybe. We maybe have been with family, probably ate too much. But have we forgotten, do you think, what the meaning of Christmas is supposed to be about? Church attendance is down a bit, but do you think most people, even who don't go to church, remember? And do you think some people who go to church just do it for the cultural part of it? But that's not a bad thing necessarily, so you tell me.
Well, I don't believe that there's any lack in Christmas. The love that's shared around Christmas time is wonderful. Sure, some people may miss church. A lot of times, they probably miss it for other reasons, work. Some people, like our police officers, are out there right now working, you know. But they miss it for other reasons. But the main thing about is Christmas is the love that we share with each other. And that's it. You know, everyone is sharing love, sharing gifts, being together with family, being there for one another. It's just a wonderful time of year.
I want to talk about family. Family, I think, can be anything. Family can be neighbors. Family can be friends. Family are just people you're close to. Could be your brothers and sisters and parents if they're around. But I think family can be anyone. What do you think?
I agree, and there are many things that you have in common with someone else that make you part of the family. Just take our police family, our family in blue, all of us officers who consider each other brothers and their family, our nephews, our stepsisters. Just they're our family, and there's other ways. Like you said, your neighbors. Great relationship with neighbors.
Well, not my neighbors necessarily.
Well, I mean, well, neighbors
you
in general.
You haven't met my neighbors.
Exactly.
They have a lot of
Arturo, your microphone isn't on yet. All right.
I'm just warming up.
Yeah, that's okay. It's on now. So I will introduce the other folks in the studio because it has been suggested that I do so, or at least some of them. Arturo, I always get this wrong. Tell me how to pronounce. I know how to spell it, but how to pronounce your last name.
Well, you conquered the first challenge, which is to spell it. The second challenge is to pronounce it.
Yeah, but spelling it on the radio isn't helpful. It's the pronouncing of it.
Precisely. There's two ways to pronounce it. The proper way in Spanish is Andonaegi.
Do that again?
Andonaegi.
Andonaegi?
Andonaegi.
Andonaegi.
There you go.
Okay, all together, everyone in the studio.
Andonaegi.
Okay.
It's a Basque name from the Basque regions of Spain.
Really?
Between in the Pyrenees region, between Spain and France.
Do you have a great Pyrenees dog?
I'm sure I do.
You should get one.
I have two cats, Margo and Polo.
All right. And some of the folks that are setting up here, and we'll get to those people in a moment. Arturo, you're also with the Chicago Police Department, as it happens. What do you do with the police department?
I'm assigned to the 1st District, and I work at the tactical unit. And it's an honor to serve the city, and it's also an honor to work with the men and women of my district and of my unit. Mm-hmm. That's my specific assignment at this juncture in my career at this time.
All right. Now, Trish Kaporos is here. We're going to have her maybe do the first song, only because we don't have a chair for you. Are you ready? Oh, she's not ready. She isn't ready at all. All right, so we'll get to that in a moment. So let me go back to you, and we're talking, Bob, about Christmas. Here is the question I have for you. You ready?
I'm ready.
I don't know that you're ready.
Well, maybe not then.
Are there Christmas miracles?
Yes, there are.
You really think so?
I do. I really believe it. I've heard so many, but Christmas miracles can be just about anything, and it is something. It's a miracle in the heart. Sometimes a story. I know I have a personal one that I have with my just this Christmas time. December is a very emotional month for me. When I was a young boy, I lost an older sister around Christmas time. And
does that make Christmas tough in a way?
It makes it tough. And then I also lost a son and my father a week apart around Christmas time.
Oh my goodness.
And you know what, for me, what I think about at Christmas is, if somebody were to ask me, you know, Bob, if you could pick which month that you're going to pass away, which month would it be? And if I go down every month, the month that I think is the greatest, the most beautiful, where there's a lot of love, is December, because of Christmas. Love is in the air. Everyone's sharing love. And when Christmas time comes, I think of my loved ones in a very, you know, beautiful way, and it's my personal Christmas miracle.
All right, well, we're going to hear a Christmas miracle or two. And if we can get our microphone straightened out, that will be a miracle as well. But we will do that because the great Aubrey Mumpower is in the studio, and we will make that happen. It is 11:16 on WGN. It's Christmas evening. My name is Steve Dale, and we will introduce the rest of our guests and hear some amazing music. I promise you that next. All right, so let me introduce the other folks that are in the studio. I'm going to start at my left, your right, and this is Trish Kaporos.
Well done.
Thank you very much.
Most people can't get my last name.
I still can't get Arturo's, but don't tell him that. Now, Trish, when I heard you were on the show, I thought, I'm being honest with you, I knew, okay, this lady's name is familiar, so I Googled, because that's what you do, and I found you on the street.
Yes, that's where I started my career. I started on
And you
the
may
street.
Be finishing it on the
I
street,
I may be
too.
Finishing it there. Thanks a lot. No.
You were standing in front of that building right across the street, the Wrigley Building, and
I
you
was.
Were singing the Frank Sinatra song.
I was.
Why were you doing that?
You know, I...
Are things not good?
Well, I'm not a teacher, Sally. What do you want? No.
Are you a teacher? You know,
yeah, I worked in education, yeah.
Really? For the Chicago Public School
No, for out at Marine Valley Community College as a counselor.
Very cool.
Yeah.
But you're singing all the time around town. How do you find time? I mean, you're everywhere, including the Drake, which we'll get to.
No, the street singing thing started off as just a place to kind of just get out there and just see how people respond. And I had a lot of fun with it. I engaged myself with the audience in terms of the people that were going by and whatever. So it was just a great way to just kind of get out there and get a feel for it in a very kind of safe space, really. I mean, if people stopped, fine. If they didn't, that was okay.
I have a very personal question for you. Yeah. Christmas songs, contemporary or classic?
No, no, contemporary.
She says contemporary.
Yeah, I love contemporary.
Now, the man who's shocked or looks it in back of you is Mr. Drake Hotel himself, Bob Sloan. So, hey, Bob, when they told me that, because that we need someone to play the piano there, you know, and they said it was you, I read Arturo's email to me and I said, what? Who did you get? Because I don't pay anything. You know that, right?
You what?
Yeah, there you go. you are a, I don't have to tell you, you're a legend in Chicago. How many years have you been at the Drake Hotel?
Oh, only about a couple of years now.
The Coke Dior room, right?
Yes.
Well, right. More than a couple of years, I thought.
No, I was
where were you before
the Drake?
Yeah, before that. And you used to play with a guy by the name of Tony Zito.
Tony Zito.
A guy who actually played at our wedding, believe it or not. I mean, honestly. A lady by the name of Frida Lee also performed at our wedding, and she still does occasionally perform around town.
I was with Tony for 10 years at Yvette's on State Street.
Oh, Bob. Bob
Jean-Guerre.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely right. How many years have you been playing around town?
Oh, gee, I'm sorry to have to admit it. Several decades now.
Well,
next
several.
Year will be my 50th.
50th year?
Next year will be my 50th year in piano bars in Chicago.
Bravo, Bob.
I mean, really?
I'm still learning.
No, I don't know about that. So, same question to you, classic or traditional Christmas tunes?
Oh, I like the traditional.
Oh. I mean, traditional or contemporary?
Traditional, definitely.
Yeah.
Well, Nat King Cole, Bing Crosby.
Arturo,
oh, yeah. Yes.
So, Arturo, grab that microphone over there. There you go. I want to talk to you, too. So, we got your last name from you, and we know what you do at the Chicago Police Department. So just one question for you, contemporary or traditional?
Traditional.
All right.
Unquestionably.
Now I have to introduce the real star of the show. I mean, you guys are good, but Emily, how old are you?
I'm 15.
You're 15 years old. Emily Montelongo, you go to what school?
I go to Trinity High School, but I rehearse music at the Music Institute of Chicago.
Of course you do. And you will hear why I say, of course you do. I mean, you were here last year, right, around the same time, 1 year ago. And not only was I blown away by what you can do, but so was the audience. I got email after email after email saying, wow, essentially. And including some words I wouldn't repeat here, but it's like, holy, wow, can she sing? So, and you can. But first we're going to hear from Arturo. What song, Arturo?
Christmas Time Is Here, the wonderful Vince Guaraldi classic from Charlie Brown's Christmas, and special dedication to my baby brother who passed away in June.
Oh, I'm so sorry. All right, let's do it.
Christmas time is here, happiness and cheer, fun for all that children call their favorite time of year. Snowflakes in the air, carols everywhere, olden times and ancient rhymes of love and dreams to share. Sleigh bells in the air, beauty everywhere. Yuletide by a fireside and joyful memories there. Christmas time is here, families drawing near. Oh, that we could always see such spirit through the years.
Mr. Bob Sloan, ladies and gentlemen.
everywhere. Yuletide by a fireside and joyful memories there. Christmas time is here. Families drawing near. Oh, that we could always see such spirit through the years.
Bravo.
One little question for you. Where did you learn to sing like that? Did you have lessons when you were a kid?
Yes, but the most nurturing environment I could possibly have was the records that my parents would play for me.
And mostly your mom, and your mom is in the studio.
She certainly is. I don't have to stay over there. Mom, on the radio. She's here.
She is.
Yes.
And you were saying that the
yes,
records
the
you played?
Yes, the series of records they used to play for me was from the Reader's Digest, which were essentially instrumental songs. But I learned the melodies that way. And then years later, I would learn the lyrics from all the wonderful vocalists from their collection, primarily Sarah Vaughan, Carmen McRae, Sinatra.
The classics.
Oh, the classics.
Yeah.
You need the classics. That's the foundation for all that we have and will do in the future, musically speaking.
I think you're right about that, actually.
To behold the wonderful world of Christmas was made for the young and the old, the smile and good cheer of each neighbor. And
it is 11:35 on WGN Radio. I'm getting lots of notes in here. Thank you very much about a nice Christmas show, and it's going to get nicer as we have some beautiful, amazingly talented musicians in the studio. The question I asked at the beginning of the show to the chaplain we have in studio is, are there Christmas miracles? That was the question. Well, we're going to talk to two people who will answer that question by telling their own story. They're in Florida right now, Brian and Diana Heilig. Welcome to WGN Radio.
Thank you, Steve.
Thank you.
It's my pleasure. And I'll kind of let you guys tell the story one at a time. I'll let you guys decide. I guess, Diana, you should go first because you were there in a way Brian couldn't be there. You'll know what I mean, friends, in a second. Because you were about to have a baby. You were pregnant, and then things happened a bit earlier than you expected. I will let you take it from there.
Absolutely, yes. Well, our baby boy was supposed to be due October, and unexpectedly, he came very early, July 16th, and I had severe preeclampsia. My blood pressure just kept going up and up. And my doctor basically said to me, we have to deliver this baby. And, Brian and I were just like, is there anything we can do, you know, to wait a little bit longer, a week longer? And he basically said to us, we can't. He said, even if we waited a week, it wouldn't make a difference, you know. So he was born at 26 weeks, our little miracle.
At 26 weeks. Weighing about how much?
He was 1.5 pounds.
1.5 pounds. I'm leaving something out of the story. This happened in Cancun, Mexico. I mean, that's where you were at the time. You weren't expecting to have a baby anytime soon at all. So in Cancun, Mexico, this little 1.5 pound boy is born. Brian, did you ever think that this miracle baby wasn't going to be, I mean, that this Grayson wasn't going to make it?
Oh, there were definitely times, yeah. It is day by day when you have, you know, a baby that early. I guess we didn't even realize, but there's a classification called micropreemie when there's certain, under a certain weight. And I remember vividly a point at the NICU in Mexico where, you know, they were translating because, you know, everybody obviously speaks Spanish. And we had a translator that was translating the doctor's interpretation of what was going on in that moment. And he said in a very eloquent way that, you know, in Spanish, that it's not looking good. Like, it's Grayson's probably not going to be with us. But the translator was translating literally, and, you know, she just said, you know, Grayson's going to die. And that's when I just lost it, you know. Hmm. But he did pull through, and...
Pulling through wasn't something that happened overnight. So he needed intensive care, quite literally. And at some point in time, first of all, you found out that your insurance couldn't cover what was going on in Mexico, so there was the reality of finances, and you wanted to get this baby back home to the U.S. I don't know that the care was bad in Mexico, but there'd be no problem with translation in America, and the care might be better. So what did you guys do next?
Our friend, our very dear friend, said, hey, look, you know, there's a possibility where you can actually move your son to the States, which we didn't even think, you know, was a possibility. And yes, the doctor in Mexico was incredible. He was in the best possible place he could be in Mexico. However, the technology in Mexico is just not there, right? It's very, very, very dated. So, you know, we then started creating our mission to be, how can we get Grayson to come, you know, to the States where we would be covered under insurance as well as, you know, him getting technology as well as the care that would be best for him.
And how did you go about managing to do that, Diana?
Well, the crazy thing is, you know, we were in such a state where, you know, we often talk about it, how we were just in this complete outer universe, you know, we weren't even in ourselves, that we couldn't even function to know what was happening minute by minute. And we had so many angels come to our rescue, through email and messages and Facebook, you know, helping and telling us what we needed to literally do step by step to get him back. And we just put a message out on Facebook, made videos day by day when we could, updating everybody. And literally hundreds of angels came to our rescue, setting up GoFundMes, and we raised so much money within, I mean, I said to Brian, it felt like we were in Mexico for 2 months. We were only there for 3 weeks. And then right away when we made this message, I think, I don't know, Brian could probably have the dates better, but I would say within a week and a half, maybe, we were able to raise enough money to get him out of there, you know, get the flight, put a deposit down with the hospital. But there were so many things that had to take place within that time frame that we were still in Mexico in a very short period of time, you know, getting his paperwork in Mexico, getting his paperwork, you know, to get him to the United States, all of that stuff for the hospital. And we could not, there is no way we could have done any of this without all of the people that came to our aid through this experience, literally angels.
Were you surprised that, I mean, I happen to know that you're pretty good at social media. That's an understatement. But still, I mean, you had people, because I shared, when I learned about this, I shared on my page. Now, friends of mine began to say, I'm going to support you guys. They don't know you.
Yeah,
absolutely.
That was, that was the most incredible thing that we've ever experienced. And, you know, there were people that reached out to us privately on our Facebook page. You know, you don't know us, but we're following your story. Hey, we're in London, we're in Australia, we're in, you know, Tennessee. It was people literally all over the world that were praying for us. I mean, there was prayer circles in California, and I mean, it is completely overwhelming, the support that we received, and you know, obviously how grateful we are for that. But and the friends that have been made through this whole experience, you know, that you just, I don't know, it's hard to put into words, but yes, we were very, very, very surprised and overwhelmed and grateful for the support.
All right, here's
everybody.
Here's a really weird question. Did you guys feel the power of prayer?
Without question.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, there was times, there's two very specific times when we were visiting Grayson in the NICU in Mexico, and something happened. We don't know, again, the translation, and the doctors pushed us out of the way, and they were doing whatever to Grayson. I mean, literally, like, pushing him, shaking him, and we put out on the social media, you know, we need your prayers, like, right now. And hundreds and hundreds, within minutes, hundreds and hundreds of literal prayers or good wishes or thoughts poured in, and Grayson, bam, would recover just almost instantaneously. And this happened several times.
Then you do fly out. You get to Florida. Then there's this thing called a hurricane that happened in Florida. And I don't know, I don't recall, did you have to actually evacuate the hospital that you were in? I think you nearly came to that, or maybe you had to.
We were in Nicholas Children's Hospital, and we were in the new building that had been built. It was literally built in November, so it was built to Category 5, I guess, hurricane standards. However, it had never been through a hurricane. So to take extra precaution, the hospital moved all of us from the fourth floor in the new building to the original building structure on the second floor that withstood Hurricane Andrew, which was like, felt like almost going back in time to Mexico as far as the way that the NICU was set up. And there was like, I don't know, 8 or 10 kids in the same room. And we were just like, you know, it was dark and like a dungeon almost. But, you know, gratefully, the hurricane, we didn't ever feel any type of issues from it whatsoever. And it was just like, really, what's happening?
They wanted to separate us. Actually, they wanted Brian to leave the hospital, and we said, "There's no way we're leaving each other after what we went through."
Yeah, and I said, "You can do whatever you need to do, but I'm not leaving."
So somewhere along the way, you guys had an idea that now millions, millions, millions of people have seen. Grayson is your child's name. Grayson Strong is the terminology you used. And imagine the Superman logo with a G instead of an S. G for Grayson. There are people that I don't believe you know that have actually tattooed this on them. There are T-shirts. It's amazing that it has caught on to the way it has. Grayson is doing how now? Okay?
Yes, he is amazing. There's several, you know, issues that preemies can have. One being with their eyes, two being with their lungs, and so forth. And we're just so grateful that he's gotten past these you know, issues with his eyes. I mean, we were just at the pulmonologist, and he's doing well, right? He's off his monitor, so we're just have he just has to be on his monitor at night when he sleeps. But yeah, again, that goes into the whole outpouring of support that we just could not imagine, that people literally tattooed the Super G logo, mom being one of them.
Your mom.
And yeah, my mom.
Not the mom in the studio.
No.
She's only hearing about this the first time. But we actually do have you guys won't believe this if you haven't been listening, the chaplain of the Chicago Police Department is right here. And we were talking before you came on about Christmas miracles. I mean, whether there is such a thing or not. After hearing the story, Robert Montelongo, what do you think?
That was a definite miracle. And I'm so glad to hear that Grayson is doing so much better. It's amazing how the power of prayer, you know, just intensifies the love that we have for each other and makes the world such a small place that could reach other countries, people who don't even know you, and the outpouring of love is what builds us up.
You know, we often hear the worst, especially on radio, on television, right? The worst of things that are going on in social media. People attack social media, oftentimes rightly so, for doing the awful things that are sometimes perpetuated in social media. Sometimes people do little awful things because they their face isn't associated. They're not face-to-face with someone, so they write things they would never really say. But here's an example, I think, Bob, of how social media, there can be a lot of good that can come from it.
Definitely. Just the bringing us all together in a very real way where we can share our experiences, our circumstances that we're in, our sufferings, our sorrows, and just bring everybody together, once again, I'll say it, to share in love with one another.
How are you guys doing? Diana?
Oh, wow. We are doing amazing. We just had the most special couple days celebrating Christmas, you know, with each other. And it's truly, I said to Brian today, this Christmas just feels different. It feels like the real meaning of Christmas and the spirit and, you know, just having Grayson here and seeing him, how much he's grown, and it's just, he's just so incredible. And, you know, the things that are coming out of this, you know, I mean, people have messaged us that they're praying again after years of not praying, that they believe in God again. It's incredible.
All right. Well, one can hear the emotion in your voices, even though you're not close, you are, after telling that story. Brian Heilig, Diana Heilig, thank you so much. And what's most important, you have a healthy baby boy.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much, Steve.
Thank you for joining us. So, yeah, you're getting a round of applause if you don't hear it. That's a nice story. We have one more story coming up. And we have music coming up. I promise you that is next. Christmas evening, and a white Christmas we had. So, Tom Skilling, thank you very much. I'm sure he's responsible for that. We have more Christmas music for you. Trish Kaporos is here. Trish, I will let you tell us to have a very Merry Christmas.
That's the name of the song.
I knew that.
Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Let your heart be light. From now on, our troubles will be out of sight. Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Make the Yuletide gay. From now on, our troubles will be miles away. Here we are in those olden days, happy golden days of yore. Faithful friends were then near to us, gather near to us once more. Through the years we all will be together, if the fates allow. Hang the shiny star upon that highest bough. A merry little Christmas now. Once more, through the years we all will be together, if the fates allow. Hang a shining star above that highest bough. Help yourself a merry little Christmas now.
Thank you so much.
Wow, both of you. Thank you. You say that like piano bar people. I mean, you really do. You, Bob Salone, Trish Kaparos. You say that in a very piano barish way. So I've got. We're going to get back to Emily after the news because there's kind of no time now. So I have a question for all of you. And we'll start with Arturo. Of all the Christmas songs ever on the planet, ever in the history of the world, what is your favorite?
To answer your question specifically, it's a song titled Merry Christmas that was in the MGM movie from 1949 titled...
So you're going to give us like a... I thought he'd say like White Christmas or something, but I only have 20 seconds here. What are you doing?
The title is Merry Christmas that was sung by our beloved Judy Garland.
Yeah, sure.
In the movie titled In the Good Old Summertime.
In the Good Old Summertime. Trish.
Merry Christmas, Darling by the... I think it was the Carpenters that did that.
Yeah, actually, yes. Emily?
I'd say White Christmas is one of my favorites.
Sure. I think she likes the classic.
Yeah. I think it's just because I think snow on Christmas is, like, beautiful, and it just gives, like, you the very loving vibe, and I just like the song.
Bob?
I saw Mommy kissing Santa.
Oh, come on. Tells you something about Bob Salone.
Blanca Navidad Fuentes, Blanca de nieve y de fervor.
I love that, and I think it's important that we do this a bit in Spanish. I'm all for that, Arturo. That's Arturo's voice. We're going to hear him. All right, I'm going to give it a try. Arturo Angel de Leblanc. I didn't do that right, I don't believe.
Better and better.
Yes, I don't think so.
You won't get a citation this time.
Trish Kapouros is in the studio. I got that right? Bob Salone, the brilliant Bob Salone, a legend in the studio, as well as Robert Montelongo, chaplain for the Chicago Police Department, your daughter Emily, proud dad. You're getting ready with the phone to record it all, I understand. But Emily, you didn't come alone, did you? I'm impressed with the fact that you have your own people now.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is your person. Vicky Lovecheck.
Yay.
Hey, Vicky. So Vicky will play the piano for you. What's the first song you're going to sing?
It's called Yesu Bambino.
Okay, let's go for it.
King of love and life.
That is just beautiful. You know you are responsible for the glass if you break it. In the studio here on Michigan Avenue, the Allstate Showcase studio, you are aware that we're not insured for high notes. We're insured for all sorts. This is bulletproof glass, actually, police officers, but it's not high note proof.
What about the Bob Newhart building across the street?
The Bob Newhart, the Wrigley building?
This is where he used to work from the TV show.
I ran into him once. I don't know what that is. So let's hear another song. What song is next?
Were you going to lead into it? Okay.
Okay. So, right. And what I wanted to ask your dad, chaplain for the Chicago Police Department, is, and I asked you this last year too. It's an important question for today. And by the way, what I didn't say, I said this earlier in the show, and I've forgotten to say this again. This is Patty Vasquez's show. I'm just standing, literally standing here for her, and it's an honor to do this once or twice a year for Patty. Patty has musicians in the studio all of the time. Rokan has a studio, but people come in the studio to perform as well. But boy, what talent. I'm honored to have all of you here. The meaning of Christmas.
Well, you know...
Say that again for me.
For sure. I was recently binge-watching dog rescue videos on YouTube.
I like it.
And I was really taken... I won't lie, I was in tears by watching these great people trying to rescue these dogs.
Wait till you hear a story we're going to tell you in about 15, 20 minutes.
Oh, and in one rescue, one of the ladies said to this dog, "Let me show you the other side of humanity." And that crushed me, you know, that they're going to, finally someone's going to reach out and help this dog. But what you see, they find these dogs in dumps. They'll find them in junkyards. In Los Angeles, on those canals that lead back to the sea, and they're in such horrible condition. But it's a project to get these dogs. They really have to really get out there, and it's not easy to get these dogs to trust them. It's almost like they don't want to leave that condition they're in because they're afraid of what's coming next. And if you will, I wonder, do they sometimes think, boy, I wish I can become a dog and really be there, and maybe that dog will trust me, and I'll be able to speak to this dog and get him, lead him to me, to this new life that you're going to go to, surrounded by love, which you see in after those, at the end of those rescue videos, they look so beautiful once they're rescued and surrounded by love.
It's amazing what a little love can do and how forgiving they are.
And that's the meaning of Christmas. God come down to earth on this day as a baby, one of us, to lead us, to get us to trust him and follow him and love him in such a way that then the love, you know, we share it with everybody else once we receive it. And as a matter of fact, Emily has a song that she does that can explain it probably better than I can. And that one's called Come Unto Him. Can you do that one?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Here we go, Emily.
Thank you.
I was busy Facebook Living that too, actually. And now, thank you very much. And we have a very special performance. We've twisted his arm, Bob Salone. I understand you have acquiesced. You're saying, yes, we're going to do it. All right, we're about to hear it. Hallelujah! Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord, because Bob Salone is a part of this. Trish Kaporos?
Kaporos.
All right, 2 out of 3 or 4 out of 5. Yeah. All right, go for it.
There was a secret boy that David played. He pleased the Lord, but you don't really care for music. Well, it goes like this: the fourth, the fifth, the minor fourths, the major lifts, the baffin king composing hallelujah. She broke your throne, and she cut your hair from your lips. She drew the hallelujah. I've walked this floor. I used to live alone before I knew you. And I've seen your flag on the marble arch. Love is not a victory march, and it's cold, and it's a broken hallelujah.
That song is just perfect, too. And I saw what you did there toward the end of the song when you combined phrases, and Bob looked up. Oh, look what she did. Yeah, that doesn't get by me, Bob.
We're a team.
You are a team. So you've been doing this for, you say, going on 50 years, right?
Yes.
Okay. Your number one memory would be what?
Okay, my number one memory would have to be the first job I had on Rush Street.
Well, not that job.
Yeah, no. A piano bar job.
Oh, I see.
That's Rush Street.
When I was 4 or 5 years old, my mother used to let me stay up at night and watch the Liberace show on television. That was my first inspiration for music, for piano.
And that's why you're looking at Arturo and saying,
yes.
He's back, Liberace's back.
His coat.
So one night I was playing at my first Rush Street job, and Liberace walks in.
Really?
And he actually, I was playing for him then. So there's a great picture of me on my website with him with his hand on my shoulder while I'm playing.
Wow.
That was a big night for me.
How old were you then?
22.
Wow, what a great way to start.
Yeah.
You know? Well, we're going to hear more from all these people in the studio. It is 12:30, the night, the day after Christmas is over. You can't extend that at all?
Oh.
I would think you would have the ability, the power to do that.
Well, I think we're doing it now here.
Oh, we are doing it now. All right.
Listening to this wondrous buzz, and you'll hear me say, open up your hearts to
it's the morning after Christmas, but you know what? To me, it's still Christmas night, and to all of you. So, Merry Christmas. And thank you for joining us. Thank you for being here and joining our family of amazing performers that we have in the studio. We'll hear from Arturo and in Espanol just a bit. The question I had earlier in the program... Well, we've had one answer so far. Yes, that example was a Christmas miracle. And we have an expert judge here, the judge from Sweden, or from Spain or Mexico, I don't know, Chaplain Robert Montalongo of the Chicago Police Department. You will be the judge once again for this story. And this story has to do, and I know you're a big dog lover, this story has to do with dogs. I was down in Puerto Vallarta, where I happen to be, and it's not a bad gig, on the advisory board of an animal sanctuary there, the SPCA Puerto Vallarta. I met a woman by the name of Kathy Mackle and her husband Jeff, and she happened to fall in love with this one particular dog, an interesting dog, and I will let her tell the story from there. Kathy, good morning. First of all, or good evening where you are, because you're out on the West
Coast. Good evening from Cannon Beach, Steve.
Yeah, Cannon Beach is in Washington, right? Or Oregon?
Yes, Oregon.
Oregon, I knew that. All right, so we met down in Puerto Vallarta, and you had a special bond, and it wasn't the little white fluffy dog, and it wasn't the rescued pit bull looking dog, and it wasn't one of the many Chihuahua type dogs down there. It was a different dog. Explain the dog that you happened to fall in love with.
I fell in love with Carmen the day that I first met her, which was back in July. My girlfriend Eliza and I went to Mexico to help Janice bring back dogs to Washington and Canada, as we do several times a year. And Carmen had just come into the sanctuary, and she had the lower part of her body all bandaged up. She didn't have any back legs. And
Stop.
Really touched me.
Well, hang on a second. We have to tell that story. So Carmen, we just can't say didn't have any back legs and leave it at that. What happened to Carmen?
Well, I was just going to get to that.
Okay, cool. What happened?
Yeah. What happened to Carmen, as we found out there on that visit that day, is that she was hit by a neighbor's car. There was a man who witnessed it, so he was able to tell the story. But she was hit by a neighbor's car. The neighbor got out to check his car to see if there was any damage, and then he got back in his car and left her to die on the side of the road.
Wow.
She had bones sticking out. It was quite gruesome. And she crawled into a ditch, and this gentleman who saw the accident wanted to help her, but he couldn't move her because she was in too much pain. So every day he would go bring her water, and he would bring her a little bit of food. But Carmen had to fend for her life. 24/7 for a whole week before somebody notified the sanctuary. This gentleman didn't know anything about the sanctuary that they could help her, and she didn't know what to do. And somebody finally found out about Carmen, and they notified the sanctuary. And so she was out there 24/7, had to stay away, fend off predators, to keep herself alive. And also to keep herself alive, this is graphic detail, but this is the part that really got to me. She had infection. Gangrene was setting in, and she had to start chewing off her legs in order to survive. She had to chew off the gangrene. So I've never heard of a survival story like this. I've never met a dog like this. And what I found so amazing about her is we met her just 2 days after. She had gotten to the sanctuary. When they rescued her, they were able to only amputate one of her legs because she was so weak, and they had to do the one leg the one day, the other leg the next day. She wakes up, she doesn't have any legs. So to see this poor thing who had a professional cuddler with her 24/7.
Let me, Kathy.
The first 2 months she was there.
Kathy, if I could stop you on a couple of points. First of all, to me, it wasn't clear at this point that this dog, it's amazing this dog even lived up to the point that you're talking about.
Yeah. No, she had a will to survive like nothing I'd ever met or seen before. And that's what made me fall in love with her. And to see her, you know, look down and then realize, you know, when a dog goes under anesthesia, they don't know what's happening. And then they wake up and then their legs are gone. It was just like she would look to the lower part of her body and she'd just startle and she would just like get this shocked look on her face. But within, you know, the few more days that we were there for 4 or 5 days, she started teaching herself to walk on her front legs alone. And Carmen is a 44-pound dog. She's not like a little chihuahua. It's not easy for her. And she had such a will to survive. That's what I really love about the sanctuary is that they take animals that nobody else would try and help. They gave her another shot at life, and it's hard for me to imagine that any other rescue out there would have done the same thing. They would have looked at this dog and thought, oh my gosh, we're going to put it out of its misery. You know, she's just too far gone.
I think you're right about that. So you had two accounts here. One is the animal had, all animals want to live. All of us want to live, you know, but I mean, this animal's determination and the ability to overcome, I mean, the dog was starving to death when it was brought in, I believe. It could have bled out, and it nearly did. And all of that, right, and still survives is incredible.
So much love.
Well, I want to talk about that. I want to talk about that in a second. The other thing you mentioned, and I don't want to let it go by because I don't know of another, and I know animal shelters and animal sanctuaries. I don't know of another place on the planet that has this. You mentioned the term professional cuddler. So I don't want that to just slide by. Explain what that is, and I'd like to be one of those.
Oh, well, gosh, you know, weren't you when you were there? And remember when I saw you?
Yes, I've done it. Yes.
Just a little bit?
Yes.
But, no, it's lovely. What they have for dogs who have been severely traumatized, they have people that they call professional cuddlers, and they're volunteers that will come in, or sanctuary staff. They made sure that Carmen was not alone 1 minute of 24 hours a day for the first 2 months she was there, because she had horrible nightmares and night terrors. And so they had somebody constantly loving her, stroking her, giving her kisses, you know, cuddling her, petting her, telling her everything's going to be okay, helping her to go to the bathroom, you know, anything she needed. They really go over and above, and that's why I feel so strongly about Janice Chatterton's organization, The Sanctuary, which is also known as SPCA in Puerto Vallarta. She's just done such an amazing job there. And they don't take your beach dogs. They take dogs that, you know, really would not live if they did not, you know, take them in and give them all the help that they need. And just real tragic situations, dogs that are left chained up to a post with no food or water for, you know, months on end, dogs that are, you know, just minutes away from dying because they're so starving, or, you know, they've got TBT tumors, or they've got, you know, they're missing, you know, a leg, or any of the above situations. They just really go over and above for these beautiful little souls, and they heal them and they make them better, and then they find them wonderful homes in the U.S. and Canada.
Now, if this happens to a person, the person could have PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder syndrome. Well, we know that it may not be called the same thing, but dogs can suffer that as well. Cats as
Absolutely.
Well, and probably lots and lots of other types of animals. We you mentioned the night terrors. I mean, that's real. That mm-hmm. can happen. So this dog comes out of all of this, and I'll tell you, a person coming out of all of this, I don't know how that person would be. I'm no expert in that. But I know that dogs are amazingly forgiving, for starters. And this mm-hmm. dog's temperament was and is so loving. But it wasn't... A lot of people walk by this dog. You didn't, Kathy. You then not only approached the dog, but very quickly created a bond between you and this one dog. How do you think that happened? Why that dog? What was it about him? Or what is it about him?
Her, she just stole my heart. I don't know. How do you explain falling in love?
Yes.
How do you explain that? You don't know. You just, you know, it's something that happens and you can't deny it and you just go with it. And she just stole my heart. I think, you know, everything she'd been through and the fact that she was still so loving and forgiving. Dogs are so resilient. And all they need is love. All they need is love.
Well, she's not going to be forgiving mm-hmm. when she hears that I called her a him on the radio. I'll probably have a lawsuit about that.
Taking a nap right now, and quite frankly, she's an easygoing kind of gal, so I think she'll give you a pass on that one.
You said she's taking a nap right now, and you're in Oregon, so you decided to do what? What did you decide to do?
What I wanted to do back when I first met her, I saw her twice that month in July, and then I came back in September to bring back more dogs and visited with her again and was still in love with her. And then when we came back, my husband and I, he came for the sanctuary benefit, which we met you and your lovely wife, Robin, at. And I was hoping that he would fall in love with her like I was, but I knew he would have to meet her and we'd just see how it went. And, of course, he did. All it took was a couple. She went right to him, and she started loving on him and kissing him, and it was all over. Uh-huh. And so I got the green light to go, and I was just so, so very excited. And I was going to come back and get her in January. And then what happened, and I think this is a testament to the bond that we have with Carmen, too. She was so happy when we were there, and we just, you know, loved spending time with her. And Janice told me that after we left, the next time she went to the sanctuary, Carmen came out all excited from the, you know, where she used to hide underneath the chair in the corner of the room there in the entryway. And she came running out, and she was all excited, and she was looking around, and she didn't see us. And Janice said, she goes, I think she was looking for you, and she didn't see you. And she said, then she didn't even come over and say hi to me like she usually did. And she said, Kathy, I think she's really, really depressed. And she said, I think we need to get her to you before January because I'm really worried about her. She, after that, would not come out to greet anybody, and she just stayed in the corner underneath the chair just looking depressed. So I think it was very sad. I think that, you know, she knew we loved her, and she knew she loved us, and she probably, who knows what these dogs know, but maybe she, you know, thought that we didn't love her because we didn't take her home with us when we left in November. So they put her on a plane a few weeks later, and we got her just a week and a half ago. It was a week ago on Thursday, and she's my little Christmas miracle. She's just our little miracle dog. There's nothing that stops this girl. She is so fast on her two front legs. You would not believe it if you saw it, Steve. Really, she wasn't very fast at the sanctuary, but this, when she wants to go someplace on two legs, she goes. And she can go upstairs, she goes downstairs, she goes flying down a big flight of stairs in our house, carpeted stairs just on her two front legs, just holding the back of her body up with her own spine. She's such a cuddler and a snuggler and a lover, and she's just, she really is a miracle. She captures our hearts, and she's our Christmas miracle.
Do you suggest if people happen to be down in Puerto Vallarta, and it's the time of year when you're mm-hmm. from here, you might just do that, that people check out the sanctuary?
The sanctuary is one of the loveliest things you could do on a trip to Puerto Vallarta, and I think it makes it a really special trip instead of just doing the regular touristy thing. This time of year, certain days a week, they have shuttles at the Costco market, which is not too far from the sanctuary, and you can look it up on their website, the SPCA PV website, on Facebook, and it I believe it tells when bee shuttles are leaving, volunteers who will bring people to the sanctuary, and they can walk the dogs, they can cuddle the dogs, they can play with the dogs, they can spend a really nice day there. And a lot of people like to bring, you know, little treats for the dogs or clothing or, you know, supplies. It's all, you know, volunteer-run, volunteer basis. You know, they survive on donations, and that's how they, you know, get by. And it's a lovely thing because everybody that knows about the sanctuary and supports it, I think a lot of very generous people, and they love to, you know, give.
It's hard to go there and not support it.
It turns a regular vacation into a very special vacation. What's that?
I said it's hard to go there and not support it, and I do agree with what you just said. It turns a regular vacation into a very special one. Now, to my right, from the Chicago Police Department, Chaplain Robert Montelongo. Bob, Christmas miracle or not? What's your vote?
Yes, it is. Christmas miracle, definitely. 100%.
Yeah. So what we did, Kathy, at the beginning of the show, we asked the chaplain, you know, are Christmas miracles just something you see in Jimmy Stewart movies, or is it, can they be real? And immediately he said yes. I said, well, we have a couple of stories throughout the show. You're the second story. A miracle?
Yes.
On several accounts, right, that the dog survived, but... You know, some people are just meant to be, or in this case, some people together with dogs.
Right.
Perhaps it was just meant to be?
I believe it was, and I think we're identifying the Christmas miracle, which is love. All kinds of love from both of the stories, with love of God and love of each other, ourselves, our human beings, our families. We love each other. The love of music that we're sharing here today.
Yeah.
And love of our creatures, our dogs, that we love so much and bring us so much joy and love into our hearts every moment we're with them. And it's such a beautiful story.
That's what it's all about.
Mm-hmm. Well, Kathy,
thank you so much.
Not a bad Christmas, huh?
The best Christmas ever.
Well, say hello to Jeff. I thank you so much for joining us from Oregon.
I will.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Merry Christmas.
Good morning. It is Christmas night still, officially. I am told I need to say that because we're not going to leave Christmas behind. Arturo and Janehe, did I do it? Did I do it, Arturo?
And the Niggy.
That's what I said.
Precisely. So eloquently spoken.
Yes.
So eloquently.
It never is a silent night when I'm on the radio at night, but that is what you are going to perform with Bob Saloni. Go ahead.
Special dedication to Teresa Perez, our dear, dear friend and family member who is at home resting with the family and supporting us and loving us. We are grateful for all that she has been to us, and we love her family.
Noche de paz, noche de amor. Estrella con su luz, anunciando al niño Jesús, brilla la estrella de paz, brilla la estrella de paz. Noche de paz, noche de amor, todo duerme en derredor sobre el santo niño Jesús. Una estrella esparza su luz, brilla la estrella de paz, brilla la estrella de paz. Noche los ángeles cantando están. Gloria a Dios, al Rey Celestial, que ha nacido Dios, que ha nacido Dios. Brilla la estrella de paz.
Excellent, yes.
Buenísimo, buenísimo.
Yes, very, very nice.
Feliz Navidad.
Yes, for everyone, Merry Christmas, see? That's what you just said, correct?
Feliz Navidad.
Yes.
Yes, yes.
Sí.
Yes. Well, thank you very much. Arturo, you perform for the Chicago Police Department. At what sorts of events do you perform at?
Mostly for department ceremonies, graduations, promotional situations. Sometimes on occasion we do services for the chaplain's unit. I am a member of the Honor Guard as a vocalist, and also do music for the chaplain's unit on occasion for prayer services, and also do most of the charity sports events for the police department and other events.
Official types of
yes.
events.
Yes.
Like when a new mayor comes in or something. What did I just say? Oh, I'm in trouble now. Oh, no.
We do get invited for events for City Hall, municipal events.
Yeah,
and we love music, and we're just
what's the one that has meant the most to you that you have performed? It could be anything from the national anthem to maybe a more religious song, or maybe a Christmas song, or anything.
There's three that come to mind. The national anthem,
or what event was it? Or any time you sing the national anthem.
Any time, because it takes a special focus.
It's a tough song to sing, isn't it?
Yes, you have to have...
What makes it hard?
The range, the breathing, and the notes. You have to have it keyed properly for you, and that could take years.
Just don't breathe.
That might work.
I know the solutions. You need to come to me for these things.
Yes.
He's right.
Where have you been?
I know. And the other two?
God Bless America and the Ave Maria by Franz Schubert.
God Bless America is supposed to be an easier song to sing.
It's so meaningful.
That's why.
It's the essence of what we are and what we stand for.
Yeah.
And we have to be reminded of it. And fortunately, I get to sing these songs often enough that I have to challenge myself and to dig deep and do my best and honor the song for those listening.
All right. You're going to be back for more next hour? In fact, all of you, are you going to be back for more next hour?
Yeah. Yes!
There we go. Right. I love that. Well, we had to do that after hearing the last story that we heard. But now the performers, the professional singers in the studio, I think, are beginning to wonder, does he want me to do that too? So all together... Emily, you don't want anything to do with them. I see that you're like, who are these people? They're crazy people. Yes, you are the only adult here. Someone said, she's the only adult here.
Thank you.
Do you have any siblings at home?
Yeah, I have an older brother.
Uh-huh, and?
Senior high school, his name is Bobby.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we have a really close relationship. He does a lot for me. Like, sometimes I'm just too lazy to get off the couch, and he's like, I'll do it for you, Emily. And it's just, yeah.
You have your
great
people.
Brother.
You have your people. I'm impressed with that, including a love check.
Yeah.
Love check is at the piano. That would be Vicky Love Check.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, Vicky. We haven't talked to you yet.
What is going on?
I know. That's not right. So aside from playing, how did you guys get hooked up where you found Emily, or Emily found you?
Emily found me. I'm a pianist in Chicago, and
where do you play typically?
Everywhere. I'm a classically trained pianist.
Well,
so, you know, mostly.
Whoa, what are you doing on this show?
No, stop. No, I love this show. It's fun. We're all having a good time.
We are.
Yeah, and
so where do you play typically?
A lot of chamber music. Mm-hmm. I play for a lot of singers and, you know, wherever.
So you do the fancy stuff.
Where I always say, wherever they need some pretty sounds, I can make them.
You can make them pretty.
I can make some pretty sounds.
Well, you don't have to work that hard with her. So when you first heard Emily sing and hit the notes that pretty much, I'm going to get into trouble here by the bosses because the glass is all cracked, you know? I mean, you can't even drink water in the room with her, probably out of a glass, because she breaks it.
She just vibrates.
I know.
You know?
I know. When you first heard her, did you think, okay, there's something special here?
Yeah, I heard her a couple years ago. You know, she was playing for a vocal competition, and I got a phone call asking if I could accompany her, and she was a younger singer there. And even then, I was like, you know, this is a girl that has so much heart when she sings.
And poise.
Oh, yeah. Like a lady.
Yeah.
She truly is a lady. And, And she's actually just grown more and more as a musician every single year. So there's going to be great things for you, Emily.
Thank you.
Yeah, a lot of people think so. We had several phone calls to that extent.
Yeah.
Several texts to that extent. And a lot of texts saying, no, you're having a good time in the studio. I won't read the text because I'm filling in for Patty Vasquez. I won't read the text that says, Steve, Patty shouldn't have you fill in again. The show isn't going well, so, but everyone else likes it. But you know what? I'm that type of person, really, because I speak at conferences right around the country, and if I get one note, 300 people in the room, one note that says, Steve, you could have done this, that'll drive me crazy, you know? I know. Emily, we got off the subject. You're here. You're singing. What are you about to sing?
O Holy Night.
All right. Emily Montenegro and Vicky Lovecheck. Vicky, go at it. Tinkle those ivories. You have a proud dad sitting right over there.
Yeah.
Dad, did you, first time you heard your daughter sing, did you think, oh, well? And are you concerned a little bit because Now she gets all this praise and adulation. She's on the radio. She performs in school and in other places.
Well, not concerned. I love it. And I think she might have been 4 or 5 years old when we have a little personal family Christmas tradition where the kids cannot open their presents until they perform for us. And it could have been singing, dancing, whatever. And so she started singing. I thought, I think she could sing. So kind of taught her to Ave Maria Schubert and took it from there. And I said, oh, yes, she definitely. And here she is. She's just amazing. I really don't know where she came from. She's wonderful.
Well, you sing a little bit.
No, not really.
Mom?
I try not to. I think my wife has a beautiful voice, although she tries to shy away from it, but she has a very beautiful voice.
Well, Emily, you're wonderful. Thank you so very much. What do you want to do eventually?
I want to be a singer. I mean, I want to go to college.
What kind of music would you want to sing?
Hopefully sticking to classical, yeah.
Classical music?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Vicky? You think she has the stuff to do it?
Oh, yeah. You know, you have to have lots of determination. You have to have heart. That's the number one ingredient in music. Without that, you won't go far. And Emily has so much heart, and she has determination, and she has a voice. So with all those ingredients, yeah, you'll be able to do
it. Does the voice come after that other stuff, though, really, in showbiz?
You can develop a voice, but you know, if you don't have a heart behind a voice, it's just a voice. Because you know, even voices that weren't necessarily, like Louis Armstrong, you wouldn't necessarily say he had the most beautiful voice, but
no.
He had so much heart.
Yeah.
And that's what made him compelling. So I say the first ingredient has to be heart. And then when you just add to that, it just goes further.
I thought she was going to say, I want to do hip hop, but I guess
not. You know, that too.
Do you rap?
No.
Oh. No. Your dad knows about rap sheets, however, being with the Chicago Police Department.
That's correct.
Yes, but that's a whole different story. So I am told there's going to be a song that maybe many of you can perform in. We are not going to let Christmas end, are we?
No.
Never.
No, say that again.
No, never.
Never. So, Trish Kaporos is here.
Very well.
Thank you very much. Good. With Bob Salone, and we are going to rock the house. Yes, go for it.
Mix and mingle and a jingle and a jingle. That's the
And I think Cassara, my producer, was singing in the other room. I should have potted you up there, Cassara.
She was jumping. I saw her.
I bet. Can you sing, Cassara? I bet. I bet she can. Can you sing?
I cannot sing. I DJ instead. I do not sing.
I know you DJ. So she DJ'd our Christmas party. WGN, yes. And it was a rockin' party, but not as rockin' as what we just witnessed.
Yeah.
Are you exhausted?
No, not at all.
No.
She's waiting for more.
So I was talking, Love Chick. Yeah. Grab, find a microphone here, share a microphone, because you said, we were talking about, off the air, some famous people. This is Vicky Lovecheck. Lovecheck. Is that the real name, or is this just the showbiz thing?
No, that's my real last name. It's a good name.
It's a great name. People stop you on the street, I know. So
they actually sometimes sing, like, Lovecheck, Vicky Lovecheck, like Love Shack.
Or I'm thinking the Diana Ross song. Maybe I shouldn't, because it's called Love Child, but that's a whole different thing. That too. So you said that I am not the only one who admires your name.
Oh yeah,
Dave Brubeck did at one point.
Yeah, Dave Brubeck. Yeah, I met him over at Ravinia, being a classical pianist, he was doing a piece of Chopin's that he actually combined called Dziękuję, and it's a combination of
Dziękuję
Chopin.
Dziękuję means thank you.
It means
right?
Thank you in Polish,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And he did this.
Are you Polish?
I am Polish.
Oh,
yeah.
Watch this. Watch this.
Yes.
You ready to be impressed,
we're ready.
Guys? Watch this.
Okay.
Jajko in Lodówka.
There's an egg in the fridge?
Yeah. That's pretty good, huh? Yeah, that's my Polish.
That's awesome.
You got it right.
Bardzo dobrze.
Gracias. So you were telling me about Brubeck.
He
was looking for an egg in the refrigerator.
He was looking for eggs.
Oh,
in the
he said thank you.
And he said thank you. Now he actually said thank you to the Polish people when he was in Poland, and he wrote this composition called Dziękuję. And I'm a big fan of Chopin's. I do a lot of lecture recitals on Chopin, and so I was talking to him afterwards, and I said, that was awesome, because he combined Dave Brubeck and Frederic Chopin, and he made a piece called Dziękuję. And, you know,
I think only he could do something.
Only
like
he
that.
Could do that, and it's awesome, and it's Dave Brubeck, and he's just the most humble person. You know, he was, as you know, he passed away, but what a great musician, great man, you know, worked in, you know, to the later part. And actually a funny Dave Brubeck story is that he actually was asked to do the Olympics, the opening ceremony in Australia, he told me. And he's like, you know, but it was just too far for a gig. True story.
Wow.
I love
it. Yeah. Now, we went around the room and asked about celebrities that people work with. Bob, you probably have a long list, because you've been in the city a very, very long time. Not necessarily only people you've worked with, but people who have walked into the room. Oh. Well, you're the guy that happened to be playing the piano.
Yes, exactly. Walking into the room, I was playing a piano bar in New York City, and one winter night, and Stevie Wonder walks in.
Wow.
With his wife and his manager.
Which wife?
For dinner. I don't know. So I walked right by the piano, and I, oh my God, it's Stevie Wonder. So I didn't dare play any Stevie Wonder song. But 10 minutes later, his manager came over to me and said, do you mind if Stevie sat in and played a couple songs?
Oh, my gosh.
I said, well, is he any good? He's a professional, right? So he did. He came up and he played about 30 minutes of new songs, playing and singing.
He did a 30-minute
set? Yeah,
he did
a 30-minute set. Right on my gig, and I'm just leaning on the piano watching him.
Was he as good as we would expect?
It was electrifying. The place was packed, and you could hear a pin drop.
Oh, man. Wow. How long ago was this?
1982.
Amazing. And he's not only an incredible... Musicians have told me his musicianship is amazing, aside from the voice that we all know.
Yeah.
Is that true? From
absolutely.
What you're? Yeah, yeah.
He did all the parts Wonder. Of his earlier hits.
Yeah, amazing, amazing. Did you get to talk to him at all?
Not really, but the experience was enough.
Yeah. Oh, incredible. Incredible. Any others?
Oh, Frank Sinatra.
Oh, stop right there. Yeah. Tell me about that.
Oh, the Caesar's Palace in Las Vegas. I was my opening night at the Palace Court in Caesar's Palace. It was the restaurant there, and Frank Sinatra opened the same night in the big room. So he came in for dinner between his two shows with Paul Anka and Dorothy McGuire.
The McGuire sisters, yes. Right? Yeah.
And Dorothy McGuire came up and sang a song with me. And so when they were finished, as they were walking out, I'm playing the piano, and Frank Sinatra stopped. He was standing there behind me smoking a cigarette, just listening to me play. And when I finished, he said, "Oh, that was very good." And I was so nervous, my knees were chattering.
I can imagine. Yeah. That he didn't sing.
All he did was compliment me, and he walked on, but that was enough for me.
You bet. You bet. And you mentioned the cigarette, right? So here's the, you know, playing, and this question is for anyone who's played really in a piano bar for any length of time, you know, the cigarette smoke. Mm. I mean, today it doesn't exist in Chicago anyway.
Thank
but
God.
But all those years, is that tough on a performer?
Oh my God, it's awful because you have that smoke, and especially for your throat. It's just awful. And I just don't, I mean, I don't, I remember bars that had that, and I remember going to bars where there was smoking, and I was smoking too at the time.
Yeah, back then.
And then I really appreciate the fact that it's not happening any longer. I don't really think it's hurt any of the bar business or any of the piano bars.
Oh, no.
Bars. No. They made it sound like that it would hurt that, but not at all.
Bob,
it's
what
a
do you,
pleasure, yeah.
What do you think?
Absolutely. I should be dead by now, all the smoke I inhaled.
Well, really, all that secondhand smoke for all those years, and you yourself smoked, you said.
Yeah.
And that affects the voice over time as well.
Yeah, you just lose your range, you know, in terms of singing. You know, you can't, you know, eventually you don't have the ability to sing all the notes that you once did.
Yeah.
So
it's the reason why I quit.
There's a lesson there, Emily.
Yeah.
Don't smoke.
Don't start smoking.
Bob, when we were talking off the air, and I mentioned, you said Debbie Reynolds.
Debbie Reynolds, also in New York. I was playing in a theater district, a place called Ted Hook's Backstage, and all the stars from Broadway would come in after their shows, and I was at the piano bar. So Debbie Reynolds came in with her entourage, and I think she was drinking a little bit. She got up on top of my piano. Oh. And sang a bunch of songs. That lasted about 30 minutes as well.
Wow.
And I had to play for her. So
did you have any idea what she was saying? How did you know?
Totally impromptu. No one knew she was going to do that.
But how did you know the songs?
Well, they were standard songs, you know.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, her hits. What was it? Tammy, I think.
Yeah.
Well, Tammy isn't, maybe back in the day it was, but to me that doesn't seem like one of the standards.
Well, she sang.
How did you know the notes to play?
Well, I know about 2,000 songs, so.
Do you really?
And he can play it in any key you ask him for.
How do you do that?
I don't know. It's just experience, I guess.
How do you remember?
That's a good question.
I mean, really? I'm serious.
I can't remember what I had for breakfast yesterday.
Well, they say, so we've got to go to a newscast here, but they say that, and I just coincidentally, you know how YouTube videos will pop up in your feed, and it was just a YouTube video of a woman with Alzheimer's, and the person came in singing a song. And then, in fact, it was a religious song. And she finished the rest of it. This person who had not spoken, apparently, in weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks and weeks.
Yeah.
Is there a music memory that we have?
Absolutely. I can't explain how it works, but it works. Music is very powerful.
Yes, it is.
Oh, it is. It's very powerful.
Yeah. All right, we're going to hear some of that powerful music when we come back. Christmas end here. We're determined, Esmeralda, to keep the spirit going way up there in the traffic department. I hope you can hear me. How's it going? Good, good, good. How's it going up there?
Good.
Good.
Watching that traffic.
I know. Yes, yes. There isn't that much to watch, I hope, at 1:35 in the morning. So did you have a good Christmas?
I did, yeah.
What did you do?
I just went over to my family's house, went over to my boyfriend's family's house, and exchanged gifts and all that fun stuff.
Didn't sound fun the way you're describing. Come on!
It was amazing!
That's better! That is better. Aren't these musicians incredible that are in the studio?
Oh, no, they're fantastic.
They are fantastic. And we're going to hear one. Who am I talking to? She's looking up at the... She's Esmeralda. She doesn't understand that you're up on the seventh floor, and she's looking there. She's waving at all of us. There
we
go.
I'm in the little box in that TV.
Yeah, she thinks that you're only that big, and in person,
I am. I live in that square.
She can never leave that square. It's like Hollywood squares. She can never leave that square. Yes,
knows her.
You have a go ahead again. Yeah. Say that again.
I have a friend that knows her. My friend's Mike Madison. I think her boyfriend and Madison's son are friends.
I don't know a Mike Madison.
Okay. No,
I just got the
no. Time. But I heard of a Dolly Madison. If that's helpful.
Well, who's the friend? Who's the boyfriend's name?
That is Mike Madison, but I don't remember his son's name. I know he's a few sons, but I don't know which one. But he said his son and your boyfriend are friends.
Just go with it.
No idea.
Just go with
it.
Yeah, probably. Everyone knows and loves Esmeralda Leon. Thank you, Esmeralda. Yes. I appreciate it, and have a belated, at this point, Merry Christmas.
Ditto.
Gracias. So now, Trish, you're up, and we are going to hear some more Christmas music. And this is going to be a classic.
Chestnuts roasting on an open fire, Jack Frost nipping at your nose, Yuletide carols being sung by a choir of folks dressed up like Eskimos. Everybody knows some turkey and some mistletoe helps to make the seasons bright. Tiny tots with their eyes on the glow will find it hard to sleep tonight. They know that Santa is on his way. He's loading lots of toys and goodies on his sleigh. And every mother's child is gonna spy to see if reindeer really knows how to fly. And so I'm offering this simple phrase to kids from 1 to 92. Although it's been said many times, many ways, Merry Christmas to you. It's been said many times, many ways, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas, Merry Christmas.
Yes, but I think everyone's done that song, right? At some point. I bet that's one of the most recorded songs ever. That and White Christmas. actually. So among all the songs on the planet, I believe those two are among the two most recorded ever. Well, Emily sets up, and I'll let you guys do that. I have a question for you. What makes a good... You need to get up to the microphone here. What makes a good pianist, a good accompanist?
Someone I think you really are in tune with, that's for sure, in terms of the synchronicity of the music between both of you. Someone who can follow you.
Mm-hmm.
And if I happen to something impromptu.
And I have a hunch you do that periodically.
Yeah, I do that sometimes. But Bob can follow me. He's really good at it. And we just have a good chemistry when it comes to working together. I mean, I think we really both feel the music. We both express it very deeply. And we can have fun. We're playful at the same time, so it makes for a nice combination.
Well, we're going to have some more fun right now. It is the aforementioned and very famous, increasingly famous, Vicki Lovecheck and Emily Montelongo. What are you going to sing, Emily?
The First Noel.
All right. She said the First Noel. I would have preferred the third or the fourth, but, you know, I'm happy to hear the first. Why not?
I convinced her otherwise, but she had to go with the first.
I don't blame her for going with the first.
It's one of the best. Yeah.
Go ahead. Stephen Sondheim, yes. I hear, once heard you sing.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Who says that? And tell me what happened after that. Stephen Sondheim.
My music school, they had auditioned a bunch of musicians if they wanted to join. There was a gala, and it was a big production, and they actually had two men writing a song called A Song for Sondheim in honoring him, and he attended the gala. And I got to sing, I was younger, and I got to sing one line. And I remember it was like, "There are children who have listened," something like that. It was one line. And I was so nervous, and I was
for
like,
sure.
Oh my gosh, Stephen Sondheim is right there. So I sang it, and it was over, and it was great. I mean, the writer of West Side Story was sitting right in front of me, so it was great.
Pretty incredible. Not as cool as Debbie Reynolds dancing on the piano, but nevertheless. Now, you don't even know who these people are we're talking about, I presume. Debbie Reynolds?
Yeah.
Sort of.
Frank Sinatra.
Singing in the rain.
Yeah. This is WGN Radio, and I demand it. By the way, in a couple of nights on the 27th at night, the 28th actually in the morning from 2 to 5 a.m., I'm going to be filling in, and I do a podcast called Steve Dale's Other World, and we had the opportunity to speak with all sorts of amazing people throughout the course of the year. Michael Jordan's trainer, he has a book out, Tim Grover, spoke to him. He will be a part of this. What I'm doing is I'm taking clips in part, we'll do some other things too, from some of the interviews that I did. Do anyone here remember Dr. Lester Fisher, Lincoln Park Zoo director? Back in the day, for like 40 years, he did a segment called Ark in the Park with Ray Rayner in the morning on television. And boy, does he have stories to tell. For example, it was before his time. And he talks about how a bear actually got out at the zoo. And the story goes that a bear walked into the bar down the street. No, you're...
Hey, wait a minute.
Okay. They're not believing me. I don't know why.
A Christmas joke.
No, a bear walked into a bar. And if you want to know what happened, you have to listen from 2 to 5 in the morning.
Did he get a bear?
No, the bear
did
not.
Did he pick up the bear?
No.
Did the bear miss the train, too?
No. You guys, I sense they really are.
Missed the train. The bear missed the train, and now he's walking.
He does know 3,000 songs or whatever it is.
No one believes me.
So if I said prune juice, there's a song about prune juice that you would have. If I said hockey, there's a song.
Oh, yeah.
Prune juice.
He's making this up.
Nothing more than prune juice.
You are fast. He makes it up, but it's fast anyway. All right, so let's get back into the Christmas spirit. There's only 10 more minutes left of Christmas. That's it. It ends when Hannah Stanley comes on after 2 o'clock. Poor Hannah Stanley. That's a lot of pressure, I think. So let me do this again. Arturo Andunege.
Andunege.
I keep trying. I'm going to have you on the radio forever, you know, until I get this right. And I have a hunch.
You keep saying it wrong.
It may take.
I need a part-time job.
It may take.
I'll do security
forever.
In the front.
Yeah. Arturo, what have you got for us?
We have White Christmas with Spanish lyrics, and then everyone's going to join in English.
Love it. All right.
Blanca Navidad llega y nos alegra el corazón. En los sueños hay calma, bondad de las almas y el mundo se llena de emoción. Recordar tu infancia podrás al llegar la blanca Navidad.
In the snow.
me.
Uncle Bob.
Bob, have you ever done... Now, you talked about all the stars, Frank Sinatra and Stevie Wonder and Debbie Reynolds dancing on you and all those... Or dancing on your piano, anyway.
The story gets better.
Yes. Well, hey, it's 2 o'clock in the morning. At 3 o'clock, wait until you hear what I have to say. Have you ever had this happen?
Never.
Never, he says.
It's a first for me, and I love it.
Yes. Well, I'll tell you, what I love... What I love is, and I'm honored to have all of you in the studio, all of you, a star to be, certainly a working performer, and a working performer or two, that in this industry, that's amazing unto itself.
It is.
Yeah, it is. Well, right. A working performer for a week or a month, for 49 going on 50 years. I don't know anyone else who's had Debbie Reynolds dance on him. So, Arturo, we have time for one more if you've got it in you.
Yes, absolutely.
He says absolutely. Hannah Stanley comes up after 2 o'clock. I don't know how she's going to follow this, but I am certain that she will. And Friday, in fact, I will be here filling in for Bill and Wendy, which is an honor in so many different ways because... I'll tell you, Bill and Wendy, I have more fun with... I have fun with a lot of people. I'm going to get myself in trouble. But I'll tell you, I have more fun with them on the radio. So it is a thrill, really, for me to be here for them. That is this coming Friday. Are any of you worried about the economy at all? And how the new tax bill may look? Well, I know nothing about it, but we are going to have people that know about that. And interestingly enough, it intersects in some ways, maybe good, may not be good, we'll find out, with Illinois' new laws regarding our taxes as well. And we're going to find out about that, about the economy. Are interest rates going to go up? Are they going to stay where they are? And what about the stock market? All of that stuff and more we will talk about. And we'll also have Doc Emmerich on the show. If you're a hockey fan, you know who this guy is. A legendary hockey broadcaster. But I will tell you a little secret. You guys won't tell anyone?
No.
We promise.
Emily?
A personal pledge.
She promises to? Okay. I am going to have him on the show, and I'm going to have... A fan of his biggest fan ever, is the legendary dog show. I said dog show. Broadcaster David Fry. And I'm going to have David, first of all, surprised, because I'm just going to say, hello, David, and there will be Doc Emmerich right there. That's one thing. But I'm going to have Doc, the legendary hockey broadcaster, not doing it for 50 years, but probably 30 years, you know. He's been doing this a very long time. I'm going to have him announce a dog show. And I'm going to have David Fry, the dog show guy, announce a hockey game. Oh. So that'll all be Friday during Bill and Wendy's show as well. Arturo, you're going to close it out. A lot of pressure. All up to you.
Yes. The title, Merry Christmas, from the 1949 Judy Garland movie from MGM.
Got it.
Merry Christmas, have a very, very merry Christmas. Dream about your heart's desire. Christmas Eve, when you retire, Santa Claus will stop, and I know he'll drop exactly what you wanted from your chimney top. So be jolly, have a holiday's guess honey. May the ones you love be near you, with a laugh of friends to cheer you. When the church bells ring like the angels sing, and you hear the joyful hymns they chime, hang a wish from me on your Christmas tree for a very Merry Christmas time. Church bells ring like the angels sing, and you hear the joyful hymns they chime. Hang a wish from me on your Christmas tree for a very Merry Christmas.
Quickly, first of all, thank you. Bob, you are going to be where? When?
At the Drake on December 30th with Trish Kaporos.
Uh-huh. Right here? Trish?
Yes,
right here?
Trish, okay. Kaporos. And every Sunday at Gibson Steakhouse.
All right. Trish, anywhere else aside from that?
Oh, dear.
She says maybe not.
Maybe
we don't
over
even
here
know.
In the corner over here. That might see me singing.
But yes, outside on the street,
Trish,
she says.
She sings with me and sings all the time on Wednesdays at Sayat Nova, too. That's...
Okay, excellent.
Every Wednesday.
And Arturo, go to Chicago Police Department event.
Yes, front row seats available. Going once, going twice. Free tickets, free get out of jail cards.
All right. Thank you all very much. Again, a round of applause for all of you.
Yeah.
And most of all, for all of those who were listening, thank you very much. And Merry Christmas.